Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It says that the person who's leading worship today is Don, but he's going to give the message, but he's not going to lead the service. You're stuck with me. So when it's your turn, we'll make sure you get up here.
Okay.
I'd ask you to stand and join me in our call to worship, number 367, The Church in the Wildwood. Those who felt it was important to build this church. And thank you, Lord, for those who have been called to worship here today. And I pray that all who are here will leave this place holding some piece of this service in their heart, a prayer, a song, a part of the message, something that will keep you, Lord, in each of our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Ah. So for those of you who may not remember, Debbie was here a couple of weeks ago when Doug Dunlap led the worship for us. She had never been here before. She was delightfully surprised at our little church and offered to play the organ for us. So she's here today for that, and we thank you very much for being here, Debbie. All right. Who has a hymn they want to sing? Oh.
487, Amazing Grace, first and last.
487, Amazing Grace, the first and last verses. Of When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, number 500. This song always makes me think of you.
Oh, well, this always makes me think of Reverend Holcomb's wife, Mildred Holcomb, who was our minister here many years with her husband, and this was her favorite song.
Wow, nice. distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Anyone else? John?
Hey, Joe. 450?
450.
Yes, a second. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, first and fourth.
First and fourth. So, Debbie, if you want to just give the intro of the last line of the song, yes, and then we can go into singing the verses.
Say again what the
four,
song
is. 450.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure what the ending is. I can start at the beginning.
Well, then just give us the first note.
Spacious skies for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God share his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining.
Verse.
Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, condemned by human tears. America, America, God shed from sea to shining sea.
Okay. 17, come thou count first and last.
Number 17.
Okay. You don't need those, right? Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And which verses, Pam? Which verses?
First and last.
First and last.
Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to praise how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy
5:15, I'll be a sunbeam. Auntie May, and which verses would you like?
How about 1 and 4?
1 and 4. Give us the first note.
Hard to read this one.
Just give us the first note, and we'll go from there.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. In every way, try to please him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. A sunbeam for Jesus I can, if I but try, serving him moment by moment, then live with him on high. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. A sunbeam for him. That's right.
And then ask about CDs.
Very interesting.
What was the number?
Pardon? She's passed at this point, but she was a pillar of this church for a long time.
Oh, and so we were singing that for her?
For her.
Oh,
yeah.
I must learn it. I'll learn it. Next time I'll know it.
Okay.
Homework this week.
Homework, great. Any more songs that we want to sing today? All right. Well then, I'd like to go into a time of prayer. Before I ask for your prayers, again, I want to praise God for bringing Daddy to us. We appreciate that. Also, I want to thank the people who have signed up for next Saturday's work day. We got a good amount of people signed up to help us out here, scraping and painting, and somebody's promised to wash the windows on the outside. So this is, it'll be a good day. The weather right now is looking perfect. So just keep that in mind if you happen to wake up next Saturday morning and find you got nothing to do. Come on down.
Starting when in the morning?
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. It's on the back of your bulletin. Does anybody ever look at the back of the bulletin? There's all kinds of information on the back of the bulletin. And let me just point out, too, that on the back there's a little blurb about the Light of the World cross. I don't know if any of you have heard of it or seen it, but it's on Route 4 in Madrid going toward Rangeley on the right-hand side. It's a big field. And if you just look while you're driving by, it just looks like there's a lot of metal piled up in the field. But if you go in and park and really take a look, it's a cross. And there's a picture, it's Jesus' face, and it's made from rocks. And the metal is the crown. And there's red lights in the crown. So if you happen to be able to fly over at night, it's probably amazing at night. But this is a project that John Boyko has been working on for over 10 years.
Josh helped
Joe by son-in-law. Okay. So he's just funded it himself. He does take donations. There's a little shed there if you stop in. And there's a whole book that gives you the history of it, what started the whole thing, what everything means, and there is a donation box as well. So I just thought it would just be nice to to let you all know about that.
Good girl.
Thank you. And the only other thing I want to talk about is I want to praise God for Dean taking our clock to Massachusetts and finding out that the people in Massachusetts want a whole lot of money to fix our clock. And so I started investigating who in Maine might fix clocks. This was just very convenient for Dean. So this, he was going, it would have been great. So I found a couple of places, and the closest one was Auburn. And Dean stopped there on his way back, and that's where the clock remains now, to be fixed at a much lower price. And we will have it hopefully by the end of August rather than sometime at the end of the year, what the other place said. So let's, hopefully we'll get our clock back and it'll be tick-tocking again. That would be really good.
That's because I have the time.
Because you have the time. We've had so many emails going back and forth, and we've taken every opportunity to use the word time in our emails. All right, so.
That was going to be my first prayer request. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So do we have any either prayers of praise or prayers for yourself or praise for some, prayers for someone else even? Yes, Diana.
Okay. Some of you know last week that Jeannie had mentioned a Charlotte. I'm Charlotte. They found a black mass on my right shoulder, size of a walnut, so they wanted me to get a biopsy. I found out the date, which is August the 30th, at 8:30 in Augusta, Maine Journal. I'm going to be put under. They're going to do that robotic thing, soil fill thing. Thank you. So I need all the prayers. I'm still scared and worried, but with the help from this church and everybody in it, I know I'm going to make it.
You're going to do just
so
fine.
So thank you all.
All right. Anybody else? A prayer of praise, prayer of thanks, prayer on behalf of someone else? No? Gosh, you're all like your lives are perfect. What the heck? Mine's not.
I thank God for this wonderful weather.
Yes. Amen.
For sure.
Yeah, it was great yesterday. Did I see your hand go up, John?
Thank the good Lord for being surrounded by his beautiful creations and that we're able to see his wonderful creatures. We see the baby deer and fawns and hear his choir, as I say, all the beautiful birds singing in the morning. I always say that I thank him that we can hear his choir.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
And I celebrated my 80th birthday on Saturday with a dear friend of mine who also is 80, and we had 30 people come to the party, of which I didn't even think there were going to be that many, but there were. And they were all
got
along very nicely.
Pretty good. Well, if there are no others, I'm sure there are some in your heart that maybe you just don't want to verbalize, and he knows that. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for this church and for these people who are gathered here who love you and want to worship you, who appreciate the beauty that you have surrounded us with. We think about just your creation here, the flora and the fauna and the birds and just all of your beauty that is here all around us. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful change in the weather. I think everybody can say thank you for that, to feel less humidity and to feel the temperatures go down and to feel that beautiful breeze that you've created. We are just so grateful for that. And we know there are places in our country where they are not having the weather we're having today. So I just ask you to be with people who are suffering with heat or with flood or wildfires. whatever the case may be, just let them know that you are there with them, that your presence is ever present. I ask prayers particularly for Diana today, Lord. We know she is scared, and we can be scared for her, but we're also going to support her. And we know that you also will be supporting her. You will be there for her. And let her just find peace in this period of time that she's waiting to have the surgery. Let her feel your loving hand and your presence with her at all time. And we thank you, Lord, for birthdays and how some birthdays just seem a little more important than other ones. And so Debbie just celebrated her 80th birthday, and wow, what a milestone that is. And she's still pumping in Oregon. God bless her. So all of these things, Lord, we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, I would ask that we have... Oh, no, we're going to sing a song. No, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Sorry. The Lord's Prayer.
Does anybody look at the program?
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. His mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. As our offering collectors prepare to come and take the baskets, just want to say that we know your gifts support the church, but if you are not prepared to place an offering in the church today, please know that your presence is gift enough. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. We offer to you, Lord, the work of our hands represented by that which is going to be put in these baskets. We pray you use our offering to continue your work. Bless us and what we offer. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 31. This is the New International Version. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Let us pray. May the meditation of our minds and the words from our hearts be acceptable unto thee. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and speak today. 3 years ago, when my wife and I first started coming to this church, I never thought that I'd be standing in front doing what I'm going to do. This is a special place, as everyone knows, so hallowed and so holy, and I feel humbled to be up here. I think it's important to tell you how I came upon the topic that I'm going to speak about today. It was just about 8 or 10 months ago. My wife and I were just sitting, and she was reading a commentary, a biblical commentary. And I had some stories and some ideas in my mind that I wanted to give to people sometime, someplace, somehow. And it just seemed, with what she was reading and telling me she was reading, and what I had in my mind, it all fit together like a puzzle. And I was able to put this message together today, not because of coincidence, but because God wanted it to be put together in this way. So I'm grateful to be here with you folks today. And it's such a beautiful day, and I'm glad to be here. Our mothers, grandmothers, adoptive and foster mothers are all important women in our lives. And they've always used their wisdom and experience to teach us and lead us in the correct direction. I'd like you to consider these humorous morsels of maternal parenting. Mama taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes are going to freeze that way. Mama taught me about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. Mama taught me about logic, because I said so, that's why. And one more. Mama taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And you can probably think of others. But I also came across this exchange of ideas between a small boy and his mother. A little boy came up to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper and handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on. After his mother dried her hands, she read it, and this is what it said. For cutting the grass, $5. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. Babysitting my kid brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. A grand total owed of $14.75. Well, his mother looked at him standing there, and the boy could see the memories flashing through her mind. She picked up the pen, turned over the paper he'd written on, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For all the nights that I've sat up with you, doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you've caused throughout the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, and even wiping your nose, no charge. Son, when you add it up, the cost of my love is no charge. When the boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were big tears in his eyes, and he looked straight at his mother and said, "Mom, I sure do love you." And then he took the pen, and in great big letters, he wrote, "Paid in full." The title of this little story is A Mother's Love. For a few minutes today, I would like us to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She is instantly recognizable to us all, a very important person in the Bible. Our feelings, thoughts, and wonders direct a great deal of interest and emotions towards her. She was there at the birth of Christ, and there also at the end of her son's life. Mary was found to be a quiet, meditative, devoted, wise woman, most honored of women and queen of mothers. She shared the cares common to motherhood. Let us trace her life through the Bible as thoroughly as we can through the scriptures. We begin with the birth of Jesus in Matthew 1 and 2. It's a familiar story for us all. It gives us a backdrop of the reasons why Mary and Joseph were traveling on the road. It tells of the non-availability of accommodations, the decisions by Joseph to marry a pregnant woman, even though he didn't really have to, the arrival of the three wise men at the stable, and where in verse 11, they saw the child and his mother Mary. They knelt down and worshiped him. Don't you find it curious that her name and presence were mentioned? Many of the details surrounding Jesus' birth are in Luke chapter 1 as well. Later on in Matthew, Jesus spoke of and explained parables. In addition, he performed other incidents of greatness or miracles, like walking on water. Here, the teachers of the law wondered who this Jesus was. They wondered, "Is that his father?" And Joseph was referred to as a carpenter. But they were not equally sure who his wife was, asking, "Isn't Mary Jesus' mother?" There is certainty of his father, but not of his mother. Men of this day seem to know a father by name and occupation, but the status of women was very uncertain and could be thought of as inconsequential, of low significance. Yet there was mention of Mary by name. Incidentally, Mark 6 relates the same story with roughly the same wording. Moving on. Next, in Luke 2, we read that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Jerusalem to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. Here, Simeon declared that he had seen the Messiah. Although Joseph was present, he spoke directly to Mary, saying, "This child was chosen by God. Once again, Mary is clearly identified and addressed. Let's move forward to the wedding in Cana. In attendance were Jesus, his disciples, and you guessed it, Mary. This was the time when the wine was gone during a wedding feast. What to do? Mary speaks, "They are all out of wine." She then instructs the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them. And this is where he turns water into wine. Here is Jesus' first miracle in Cana in Galilee. The wording of this short story suggests while Jesus was the Messiah, his mother took great pride in his position and gave him the opportunity to display his gifts to perform miracles. And importantly, to do it in front of people. Much like a mother or parent would encourage a child today to sing or dance or recite a story or hit a home run with other people in attendance. And the last mention of Mary finally was the death of Jesus. In John 19, we trace the sequence of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. Pilate and the trial, Jesus carrying the cross, the casting of lots of Jesus' garments, a sponge soaked in wine and put to his lips, and the piercing of Jesus' side with a spear. But to the end, Mary was present. She was standing close to the cross, watching all that was going on, feeling all the emotions we could ever imagine, seeing her son hung on a cross. What range of emotions and memories must she have experienced? Yet, here she was, standing by her son, sharing love, displaying support, and showing all her maternal instincts. The last mention of Mary in the scriptures was in Acts 1, verse 14. Simply, being with the disciples in prayer, this is all the scriptures say of Mary. There is no record of Jesus appearing to her after the resurrection. So, do we know a lot about Mary and her day-to-day activities? No. Do we know a lot about Mary and her deepest feelings during her life? No. So what do we know? She was dedicated to her son. She would not occupy a place in the limelight of Jesus' ministry. She gave Jesus an opportunity to perform miracles. She was a critical person in the life of Jesus, yet she played a small role in the pages of the Bible. I've spoken today about Jesus' mother and how much love and devotion she had for him. But what about our feelings, thoughts, and memories we each have about our own mother figures? Let me read a poem I first heard over 60 years ago. And this was one of the pieces that I had in my mind that I wanted to put somewhere, and it just fit in here perfect. She never closed her eyes in sleep till we were all in bed. On party nights till we came home, she often sat and read. We little thought about it then, when we were young and gay, how much the mother worried when we children were away. We only knew she never slept when we were out of sight, out at night, but that she waited just to know that we'd come home all right. Why, sometimes when we'd stayed away till 1 or 2 or 3, it seemed to us that mother heard the turning of the key. For always when we stepped inside, she'd call and we'd reply, but we were all too young back then to understand just why. Until the last one had returned, she always kept the light, for mother couldn't sleep until she kissed us all goodnight. She had to know that we were safe before she went to rest. She seemed to fear the world might harm the ones she loved the best. And once she said, "When you are grown to women and to men, perhaps I'll sleep the whole night through. I may be different then." And so it seemed that night and day we knew a mother's care, that always when we got back home, we'd find her waiting there. Then came the night that we were called to gather around her bed. "The children are all with you now," the kindly doctor said. And in her eyes there gleamed again the old tender light that told she had been waiting just to know we were all right. She smiled the old familiar smile and prayed to God to keep us safe from harm throughout the years. And then she went to sleep. May we bless all mothers and important mother figures. We owe them all so much. Our closing hymn this afternoon is hymn number 45, Love Divine, A Love Excelling. And I think the first and the last. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.
Amen.